Chapter 4. On the 2nd, Lord Fairfax offered exchange for Sir William Masham in particular, and afterwards for other prisoners, but the Lord Goring refused. 5th. The besieged sallied with 2 regiments, supported by some horse, at midnight. They were commanded by Sir George Lisle. They fell on with such fury that the enemy were put into confusion, their works at Eastbridge ruined, and 2 pieces of cannon taken. Lieutenant Colonel Sambrooke, and several other officers, were killed, and our men retired into the town, bringing the captain, 2 lieutenants, and about 50 men with them prisoners into the town. But having no horse, we could not bring off the cannon, but they spiked them, and made them unfit for service. From this time to the 11th, the besieged sallied almost every night, being encouraged by their successes, and they constantly cut off some of the enemy, but not without loss also on their own side. About this time we received by a spy the bad news of defeating the king's friends almost in all parts of England, and particularly several parties which had good wishes to our gentlemen, and intended to relieve them. Our batteries from St. Mary's Fort and Steeple, and from the North Bridge, greatly annoyed them, and killed most of their gunners and firemen. One of the messengers who brought news to Lord Fairfax of the defeat of one of the parties, in Kent, and the taking of Weymouth Castle, slipped into the town, and brought a letter to the Lord Goring, and listed in the regiment of the Lord Capel's horse. 14th. The besiegers attacked, and took the High Church, with a small work the besieged had there, but the defenders retired in time. Some were taken prisoners in the church, but not in the fort. Sir Charles Lucas's horse was attacked by a great body of the besiegers. The besieged defended themselves with good resolution for some time, but a hand grenade thrown in by the assailants, having fired the magazine, the house was blown up, and most of the gallant defenders buried in the ruins. This was a great blow to the royalists, for it was a very strong pass, and all was well guarded. 15th. The Lord Fairfax sent offers of honorable conditions to the soldiers of the garrison, if they would surrender, or quit the service, upon which the Lords Goring and Capel, and Sir Charles Lucas, returned an answer signed by their hands, that it was not honorable or agreeable to the usage of war, to offer conditions separately to the soldiers, exclusive of their officers, and therefore civilly desired his lordship, to send no more such messages or proposals, or if he did, that he would not take it ill, if they hanged up the messenger. This evening all the gentlemen volunteers, with all the horse of the garrison, with Sir Charles Lucas, Sir George Lisle, and Sir Bernard Gascoigne at the head of them, resolved to break through the enemy, and forcing a pass, to advance into Suffolk by Nayland Bridge. To this purpose they passed the river near Middle Mill, but their guides having misled them the enemy took the alarm, upon which their guides, and some pioneers which they had with them to open the hedges and level the banks, for their passing to Boxted, all ran away, so the horse were obliged to retreat, the enemy pretending to pursue, but thinking they had retreated by the North Bridge, they missed them, upon which being enraged, they fired the suburbs without the bridge, and burned them quite down. 18th. Some of the horse attempted to escape the same way, and had the whole body been there as before, they had effected it, but there being but 2 troops, they were obliged to retire. Now the town began to be greatly distressed, provisions failing, and the townspeople, which were numerous, being very uneasy, and no way of breaking through being found practicable, the gentlemen would have joined in any attempt wherein they might die gallantly with their swords in their hands, but nothing presented. They often sallied, and cut off many of the enemy, but their numbers were continually supplied, and the besieged diminished. Their horse also sunk, and became unfit for service, having very little hay, and no corn, and at length they were forced to kill them for food, so that they began to be in a very miserable condition, and the soldiers deserted every day in great numbers, not being able to bear the want of food, as being almost starved with hunger. 22nd. The Lord Fairfax offered again an exchange of prisoners, but the Lord Goring rejected it, because they refused conditions to the chief gentleman of the garrison. During this time, two troops of the Royal Horse sallied out in the night, resolving to break out or die. The first rode up full gallop to the enemy's horse guards on the side of Malton Road, and exchanged their pistols with the advanced troops, and wheeling made, as if they would retire to the town. But finding they were not immediately pursued, they wheeled about to the right, and passing another guard at a distance, without being perfectly discovered, they went clean off, and passing towards Tiptree Heath, and having good guides, they made their escape towards Cambridgeshire, in which length of way they found means to disperse without being attacked, and went every man his own way as fate directed. Nor did we hear that many of them were taken. They were led, as we are informed, by Sir Bernard Gascoigne. Upon these attempts of the horse to break out, the enemy built a small fort in the meadow right against the ford in the river at the Middle Mill, and once set that mill on fire, but it was extinguished without much damage. However, the fort prevented any more attempts that way. 22nd. The Parliament General sent in a trumpet to propose again the exchange of prisoners, offering the Lord Capel's son for one, and Mr. Ashburnham for Sir William Masham. But the Lord Capel, Lord Goring, and the rest of the loyal gentlemen rejected it, and Lord Capel, in particular, sent the Lord Fairfax word it was inhuman to surprise his son, who was not in arms, and offer him to insult a father's affection, but that he might murder his son if he pleased, he would leave his blood, to be revenged as heaven should give opportunity. And the Lord Goring sent word, that as they had reduced the king's servants to eat horse flesh, the prisoners should feed as they federal, the enemy sent again, to complain of the royalists shooting poisoned bullets, and sent two affidavits of it made by two deserters, swearing it was done by the Lord Norwich's direction. The generals in the town returned under all their hands, that they never gave any such command or direction, that they disowned the practice, and that the fellows who swore it were perjured before in running from their colors, and the service of their king, and ought not to be credited again. But they added, that for shooting rough cast slugs they must excuse them, as things stood with them at that time. About this time, a porter in a soldier's habit got through the enemy's leaguer, and passing their outguards in the dark, got into the town, and brought letters from London, assuring the royalists, that there were so many strong parties up in arms for the king, and in so many places, that they would be very suddenly relieved. This they caused to be read to the soldiers to encourage them. And particularly it related to the rising of the Earl of Holland, and the Duke of Buckingham, who with 500 horse, were gotten together in arms about Kingston in Surrey, but we had notice in a few days after, that they were defeated, and the Earl of Holland taken, who was afterwards beheaded. 26th. The enemy now began to batter the walls, and especially on the west side, from St. Mary's towards the North Gate, and we were assured they intended a storm, on which the engineers were directed to make trenches behind the walls, where the breaches should be made, that in case of a storm they might meet with a warm reception. Upon this, they gave over the design of storming. The Lord Goring finding that the enemy had set the suburbs on fire right against the Hythe, ordered the remaining houses, which were empty of inhabitants, from whence their musketeer fired against the town, to be burned also. 31st. A body of foot sallied out at midnight, to discover what the enemy were doing at a place, where they thought a new fort raising. They fell in among the workmen, and put them to flight, cut in pieces several of the guard, and brought in the officer who commanded them prisoner. August 2nd. The town was now in a miserable condition. The soldiers searched, and rifled the houses of the inhabitants for victuals. They had lived on horse flesh several weeks, and most of, that also was as lean as carrion, which not being well salted bread wends, and this want of diet made the soldiers sickly, and many died of fluxes, yet they boldly rejected all offers of surrender, unless with safety to their offices, However, several hundreds got out, and either passed the enemy's guards, or surrendered to them and took passes. 7th. The townspeople became very uneasy to the soldiers, and the mayor of the town, with the aldermen, waited upon the general, desiring leave to send to the Lord Fairfax for leave to all the inhabitants, to come out of the town, that they might not perish, to which the Lord Goring consented, but the Lord Fairfax refused them. 12th. The rabble got together in a vast crowd about the Lord Goring's quarters, clamoring for a surrender, and they did this every evening, bringing women and children, who lay howling and crying on the ground for bread. The soldiers beat off the men, but the women and children would not stir, bidding the soldiers kill them, saying they had rather be shot than be starved. 16th. The general, moved by the cries and distress of the poor inhabitants, sent out a trumpet to the Parliament General, demanding leave to send to the prince, who was with a fleet of 19 men of war in the mouth of the Thames, offering to surrender, if they were not relieved in 20 days. The Lord Fairfax refused it, and sent them word he would be in the town in person, and visit them in less than 20 days, intimating that they were preparing for a storm. Some tart messages and answers were exchanged on this occasion. The Lord Goring sent word they were willing, in compassion to the poor townspeople, and to save that effusion of blood, to surrender upon honorable terms, but that as for the storming them, which was threatened, they might come on when they thought fit, for that they, the royalists, were ready for them. This held to the 19th. 20th. The Lord Fairfax returned what he said was his last answer, and should be the last offer of mercy. The conditions offered were, that upon a peaceable surrender, all soldiers and officers under the degree of a captain in commission should have their lives, be exempted from plunder, and have passes to go to their respective dwellings. All the captains and superior officers, with all the lords and gentlemen, as well in commission as volunteers, to surrender prisoners at discretion, only that they should not be plundered by the soldiers. 21st. The generals rejected those offers, and when the people came about them again for bread, set open one of the gates, and bid them go out to the enemy, which a great many did willingly, upon which the Lord Goring ordered all the rest that came about his door to be turned out after them. But when the people came to the Lord Fairfax's camp, the outguards were ordered to fire at them, and drive them all back again to the gate, which the Lord Goring seeing, he ordered them to be received in again. And now, although the generals and soldiers also were resolute to die with their swords in their hands rather than yield, and had maturely resolved to abide a storm, yet the mayor and aldermen having petitioned them as well as the inhabitants, being wearied with the importunities of the distressed people, and pitying the deplorable condition they were reduced to, they agreed to enter upon a treaty, and accordingly sent out some officers to the Lord Fairfax, the Parliament General, to treat, and with them was sent two gentlemen of the prisoners upon their parole to return. Upon the return of the said messengers with the Lord Fairfax's terms, the Lord Goring and C sent out a letter declaring they would die with their swords in their hands, rather than yield without quarter for life, and sent a paper of articles on which they were willing to surrender. But in the very interim of this treaty news came, that the Scots army, under Duke Hamilton, which was entered into Lancashire, and was joined by the royalists in that country, making 21,000 men, were entirely defeated. After this the Lord Fairfax would not grant any abatement of articles viz. To have all above lieutenants surrender at mercy. Upon this the Lord Goring and the general refused to submit again, and proposed a general sally, and to break through or die, but found upon preparing for it that the soldiers, who had their lives offered them, declined it, fearing the gentlemen would escape, and they should be left to the mercy of the Parliament soldiers, and that upon this, they began to mutiny, and talk of surrendering the town and their officers too. Things being brought to this pass, the lords and general laid aside that design, and found themselves obliged to submit, And so the town was surrendered the 28th of August, 1648 upon conditions as follows. The lords and gentlemen all prisoners at mercy. The common soldiers had passes, to go home to their several dwellings, but without arms, and an oath not to serve against the Parliament. The town to be preserved from pillage, paying £14,000 ready money. The same day a council of war being called about the prisoners of war, it was resolved that the lords should be left to the disposal of the Parliament. That Sir Charles Lucas, Sir George Lysall, and Sir Marmaduke Gascoigne should be shot to death, and the other officers prisoners to remain in custody till further order. The two first of the three gentlemen were shot to death, and the third respited. Thus ended the siege of Colchester. N.B. Notwithstanding the number killed in the siege, and dead of the flux, and other distempers occasioned by bad diet, which were very many, and notwithstanding the number which deserted and escaped in the time of their hardships, yet there remained at the time of the surrender Earl of Norwich, Goring, Lord Capel, Lord Loughborough, 11 knights, 9 colonels, 8 lieut colonels, 9 majors, 30 captains, 72 lieutenants, 69 ensigns, 183 sergeants and corporals, 367 private soldiers, 65 servants to the lords and general officers and gentlemen, 3526 in all. The town of Colchester has been supposed to contain about 40,000 people, including the outvillages which are within its liberty, of which there are a great many. The liberty of the town, being of a great extent. One sad testimony of the town, being so populous, is that they buried upwards of 50 to 59 people in the plague year, 1665. But the town was severely visited indeed, even more in proportion than any of its neighbors, or than the city of London. The government of the town is by a mayor, high steward, a recorder or his deputy, 11 aldermen, a chamberlain, a town clerk, assistants, and 18 common councilmen. Their high steward this year, 1722, is Sir Isaac Rebow, a gentleman of a good family and known character, who has generally for above 30 years been one of their representatives in Parliament. He has a very good house at the entrance in at the south, or head gate of the town. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.